I'm here from 407.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to HR Happy Hour, Episode 4, the SHRM Special Edition. I'd like to welcome, first of all, my co-host, Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion. How are you doing tonight, Shauna?
I'm good. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah, Shauna did a fantastic job putting together what is sure to be an all-star panel of guests for tonight's show. Let's go ahead and do some quick introductions of the folks who are on the line. And after we get through the introductions, I've got a couple more callers we'll put up as well. Hopefully, the remaining guests have managed to join. First off, we have Lance Hahn from Your HR Guy on the line. How are you doing tonight, Lance?
Hey, Steve. Doing really good.
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. In addition to Lance, we have Chris Dunn from HR Capitalist. Chris, how are you tonight? How are you feeling?
Hey, what's up, Steve? What's up, Sean? I'm good. Thanks. Good to be here.
Great. Thanks for joining us. And finally, Mark Stelzner needs no introduction.
Too kind, guys. Pleasure to be here. Happy Friday.
Really the inspiration behind HR Happy Hour and a lot of other things. Thanks, Mark, for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
All right. I've got just a couple more. We were hoping for a couple more of your SHRM panelists to join us tonight, and I noticed there's a few people on the line. I'm going to take a couple shots at guessing who's who I want to bring up here, and let's go ahead and try Area code 502, are you there?
Yes, this is Crystal Peterson in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, hi, Crystal.
Hello, everyone.
Let's try one more.
Hi.
Area code 206.
Hi, it's Jessica Lee.
Oh, hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi.
Good. I'm looking for my headset. Can't find it, but I'm good.
All right. Let me just grab one more, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Hi, area code 407.
It's Tracy from Orlando.
Hi, Tracy. And last caller, area code 415. Hi, area code 415. All right.
Uh-oh.
We lost her. All right, hey, so thanks, Lance, Chris, Mark, Jessica, certainly for joining. We wanted to get you guys on the phone as sort of as a follow-up to the SHRM blogger session that you guys did the other day from the SHRM conference, which was fantastic. And I just thought we'd get a little feedback for the folks who were not able to maybe watch that session, not able to attend the conference, to get a little perspective on the conference itself and your panel. So I'll just throw it out to any of you blogger panelists as to what did you think about the panel itself and how it went, and did it turn out how you expected?
I think you know, we were talking about it on the way back to the airport afterwards, because I think all of us have flights out of there, but it was it turned out really well. It went better than I think a lot of us expected.
What kind of preparation did you do for the panel at all? What did SHRM sort of give you any coaching, or was it pretty much anything goes up there?
We had no preparation. Like, the only, I'm jumping in, Jessica. The only, I think, like, real guidance that we got, and certainly this, I don't think this was for me, Chris, or Lance, but really the only guidance that we got was no swearing allowed. And other than that, just kind of just, like, do what you want. So it was pretty, I think it was a lot of improvisation, but it turned out well.
Yeah, I've waived the no swearing rule, just to be clear about that for this call. In fact, I'm encouraging it.
You want the swearing?
Yeah, I thought like we could maybe have like a side pool as who would be the first caller to swear on the show.
Well, the funny thing that you guys didn't see was that when they were putting the mics on us and just getting them ready, Lori was the first one to have her mic put on, and they told her just do a test real quickly. And I think she didn't know her mic was on, and I don't know what happened, but first words out of her mouth was, "Damn it," and the mic was on. Everyone heard it, and we were like, whoa. just because it was kind of like, okay, get it out of your system now, and then once you get on the panel, hopefully there'd be no cursing.
Hey, I'm just we are trying to track down Lori Rudiman, and I know Shauna just sent out a tweet about it, and I just took a quick look at Twitter, and I do see that China is listening in, the Sherm COO. So hello, China.
Hi, China.
In terms of the blogger panel and Sherm, what about like feedback from sort of the regular sort of rank and file Sherm? You guys like superstars down there as you walk around, getting recognized, autographs? What's happening?
Well, Lance is certainly a superstar. We were walking through the convention center at a few different points in time, and I firsthand witnessed people come up to him and say, "Oh my gosh, are you the Lance?" And so people certainly recognized him quite a bit, which was cool to see.
That's awesome.
It was a big
question. Now, do you really see this as a real sort of shift? Mark, I read your blog today, on your assessment of the overall conference, and from your perspective, how do you see it? Do you think Sherm is really sort of shifting in the right direction to try to embrace, bloggers, embrace just sort of modern ways of communicating and connecting?
Yeah, I think it's on the bubble. I think it could go a number of different ways. I mean, with gratitude to China, if you're listening, China, thanks again. I think we all appreciate you stepping up and taking a chance, in effect, on the new media, including the bloggers here. And pardon me, I've lost my voice a little bit since the conference. Where I see it is that Sherm is considered to be very far behind in new media. They have attempted to launch some new programs to some fairly deep criticism in the market, in the sense that, new media is about openness. New media is about embracing individuals regardless of whether or not they may be a member. And I think the new social media platform that Sherm has put out may be a bit exclusionary. And I know, Chris, you have some comments based on a great post that you wrote on this issue. But, I think Sherm has taken a step in the right direction. The question is whether there is consistency in how Sherm will continue to embrace new media, if new media is something that is an adjunct or is a core competency to the organization. And not only embracing us, but actually promoting the importance of new media to the membership at large, regardless of one's tenure, regardless of one's seniority, and one's geography, as to whether or not new media is of importance to us as an industry. And I think Sherm is sitting in the seat where they themselves can take a leadership position, if they choose to try to promote the utilization of new media in our profession. So it remains to be seen. I'm on the bubble a little bit on this one, honestly.
How about any of the other panelists have any comments related to what Mark just said?
Hey, Steve, this is Chris, and, I think a lot of what Mark said is absolutely correct. I wrote a post, and, I think we're all high on what China Gorman's done, just in spirit of openness and transparency. Really, I think the question, when Mark says it's on the bubble, I think it comes down to who in that organization follows China's lead, and culturally, are they going to allow people to be open, to be transparent, to engage people, from the home office out to the field? And, one of the things I wrote is if even like 20% of the staffers at Sherm followed China's lead, it would make them an absolute monster because it'd be so positive.
Yeah, do you think that it's really just sort of got to come from the leadership down then? That's kind of the impression I'm getting from what you guys are saying and what I've read from what you've written. It's really going to be a leadership-driven initiative there?
Well, I think it's like a leadership-driven issue, but then I think also part of it is, the membership pushing Sherm and even non-members pushing Sherm by providing, constructive criticism as far as things that they want to see, things they expect. And one of the things that I've noticed is that at the local level with, local chapters and state chapters, there seems to be a lot of good work that's being done as far as new media. And I think of in particular like HR Florida and Charlene Lauby, who's really involved in that particular state chapter. And, I think the more, things are done at a local level and at a grassroots level, it seems like Sherm is taking notice. And beyond leadership, my observation is there are also some key folks who have joined the organization, I'm sure in the past year or so, who really get it. And another person that comes to mind is Sherman's Director of Public Affairs, Amy Thompson, who actually comes from non-traditional background. She used to work for a PR firm or a public affairs agency and really gets, you know, how to leverage online communications and social media. So they've got some good folks in place, but I think it also, you know, it's not just within SHRM. Externally, people can kind of push them, and hopefully that'll make some sort of difference. But I think they're listening. That's the impression that I get.
Great, great. Hey, just a couple quick things. If you're listening in, that's great. If you want to call in and participate, the number is 646-378-1086, and press 1 after you get connected, and that'll be an indication to me that you actually want to come on the air. Secondly, we're trying to watch the tweets on this call tonight, so if you want to send out a tweet, use the HR Happy Hour hashtag, and you can shoot some questions to that, too, and we'll keep an eye out for those. I do have another caller who wants to come on the line. Is my panel okay with taking blind callers, or do we need screeners? Because we can't afford them here on the show.
No. All right.
Let's go for area code. Area code 320. Area code 320. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Lisa Rosendahl. How are you?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. How's it going?
It is going great. Our Lisa, of course, got a shout-out in the SHRM panel the other day.
Very cool.
And unfortunately, she wasn't allowed to watch it live and see it. Are you floating on a boat down the Mississippi River right now, Lisa?
Actually, the boat's waiting for me, so I'm going to pop in for a few minutes and then head out.
All
but
right,
they're loading it up now.
All right, I've got one more caller.
Oh, that must be Shauna.
Yeah, I've got one more caller I'm going to bring up right now.
I'm always here.
Area code 618.
Hi, it's Trish.
Hi, Trish. This is Trish from Trish HR, right? Trish McFarland.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, Trish?
I am great. How are you guys?
Great, great. Hey, Trish, did you have a specific question you wanted to ask, or?
I was just listening.
Okay, just hanging out. Great. Back to our panel and back to the conference a little bit. You know, the would you just flat out this way? Would you guys have all attended the conference if you weren't doing the blogging and being on the panel? Was it something you had on your radar or not?
No, absolutely not.
Wow,
Lance, that was you, right?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't on my radar. Like I said, I'm not a member, so it would have interested me if SHRM did show that proactive interest path, you know, as being part of the blogger panel.
Okay, great.
Anyone else?
Chris?
Well, this is just that, you know, to be honest, I probably wouldn't have attended, both from like a cost perspective and also just in terms of like a value perspective. I'm not sure if I, just generally for me, conferences, I don't know if I always get a ton out of it in terms of learning and development, but the networking aspect is something that I really value, and that's kind of always a hard decision for me to make whether or not to attend, because you know, making those connections are always a big part of it. But to be honest, I wouldn't have done this one if it weren't for the panel.
Hey, this is Chris. This is the second one that I've gone to, I guess, and I've been in HR 12 years. And having gone, what I would tell you is I might attend as a non-presenter or non-press member if they keep going the direction of bringing kind of the, you know, the business people in with the HR people, like they did with Jack Welch and like they did with Cotter. The more SHRM does that, the more I get interested. I think the tough thing for them in terms of developing a session or, you know, these series of sessions is they're so big, they've got to try and be everything to everyone. And, you know, I think that's the big issue for SHRM is that they're so big when they try and be everything to everyone. The risk, of course, is that they're no one to everyone.
Right. Yeah, I think, Mark, you sort of touched on this as well, right, in what you wrote in terms of just the level at which some of the presentations were aimed at, perhaps?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're an HR generalist, you're new to the profession, you're looking to really get started and cut your teeth in this area, that SHRM is a terrific membership, and the conference is a terrific place for you to attend. But if you have, it's inversely correlated to your level of experience. And the people I talk to anecdotally, the directors, the VPs, really started to lose value. They really didn't feel that the conference was targeted toward their level of experience, that it really added a tremendous amount of value, with perhaps the exception of some of the keynotes and some of the sessions that Chris was referring to. But I think, you know, as I mentioned on my post, I think SHRM has gotten itself into a bit of a trap. By focusing on growth, by focusing on bringing in a massive volume of individuals and leading, of course, with certification as a huge part of its value proposition, SHRM has put itself in a corner where it has to be a slave, if you will, to this population and make sure that their needs are met so they can perpetuate the organization. So, you know, what I'd personally like to see is to see SHRM segment itself, not necessarily by geography, which is really how it's done today, but perhaps by level, by function, in a way to make it a bit more appealing to those who have much more experience. And perhaps that's the differentiation that needs to happen at the conference as well. There's a lot of focus on legal sessions or other subsections, but not based on tenure. And I think that they will continue to lose the voice of experience. And organizations will still say, yes, I think my generalist should go, but the voice of experience will find value elsewhere. There are too many choices for people in this market. And with so much choice, you know, SHRM is going to be lost to those that are in the highest level of positions, I think.
Hey, Steve, I'm gonna jump in and ask Mark a question, because he's touched on a lot of good stuff. Mark, if when you think about the other choices that are out there, let's say director level and up, you know, at really any size of organization, what are the first two or three things that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is actually the Corporate Leadership Council, the business unit of the Corporate Executive Board. They have 1,500 heads of HR. And to be a member of the Corporate Leadership Council, you have to be a VP of HR. So they've created a level of exclusivity that really ensures that their research basis and their focus is on those issues that are paramount to running the function. So that's one that comes to mind. There's a group called the Institute for Corporate Productivity, I4CP, that again is targeting themselves based on research, based on best practices, to the more senior leaders. You know, there are various webinars that maybe the Human Capital Institute offers. I'm not a huge fan of HR.com for senior most, of course, but I think, you know, I4CP and folks like CLC have really done a good job of differentiating themselves from SHRM by creating, again, this air of exclusivity and value. And I don't know, if Chris, if those would be the ones that would come to mind for you. What would you say? I mean, you're a senior leader in HR.
You know, I mean, I'm looking up these things as you're talking about them, and I think the first thing that has to happen is they got to get sexier names. Wow.
Sure.
Oh, much sexier names.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna win the Deadpool on cussing and just say, damn. I mean, can we get some better names?
Yeah, we are not known as an industry for creativity. We're quite a literal organization, I think. So, and again, keep in mind, there are over 1 million HR professionals in the U.S. alone.
Right.
So even with SHRM crushing the market with 250,000 members worldwide, it's still a fraction of the overall attention that needs to be spent on this industry. They're the largest, unquestionably.
Can I just interrupt you guys for 1 second and make a request?
Please.
We've got a few folks on the line just kind of hanging out and listening. If any of you guys who are just hanging out do have the ability to listen to the stream on the net rather than the phone, I would appreciate if you dropped off the phone line, because we do have a couple of more people who are trying to call in, and one of them, I believe, is China, and I'm maxed out on callers right now. So if you're just kind of hanging out and listening and you do have the ability to pick up the live stream on the website, I'd appreciate that.
In other words, hang up.
We still love you. We still love you.
I do have another caller trying to come on. Let me see who this is. Hang on.
They've been defined as non-essential personnel.
Area code 203. Hi, Area
Rose
code 203. Who is this? One more time. Area code 203.
Clayton. Hello.
I'm glad we made some people hang up for that. That's great. It's going to make me look good.
What? I can't hear that.
Yeah, I don't know. Goodbye, 203. Okay, well, thanks for the guys who did come off. Sometimes we really, this show is so wildly popular due to our compelling personalities that we do sort of overload the switchboard at times. I pay zero for the service, so I don't have a right to complain very much.
Oh, it'll work itself out. No worries. It always does.
That's right. Let me just tell you just a quick story about self-promotion. So I wanted to get a lot of people aware of the show tonight, and we had such a great lineup of guests organized for tonight. So I pitched to put our show on the front page of Blog Talk Radio today, which we made, and we were on the front page all day long on sort of a banner, flashing banner ad. Yeah, here's the funny part. The names that were listed as on the show were only the guest names and not mine. So Mark and Chris and Lance and Lori's name was on there all day too. We're getting the props all day long, and Shauna and I were not mentioned one bit. So that worked out really well.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
You guys are so selfless. We appreciate it.
Let me try area code 2. Let me try one more time on area code 203. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, area code 203.
Hello.
Who's this?
It's Peter Clayton from Total Picture Radio.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. You have a question or comment for our group?
I just wanted to listen in. I found this on Twitter and saw who was listening, and I thought I'd check it out.
All right, well, thanks.
Oh, Steve, Trish has a question, but she dropped off the call.
Okay.
She wants to know if Chris thinks that there's a better way for SHRM to, outreach to potential instructors.
That question's to me?
Yep, that's to you, Chris.
Hey, Shauna, when you say instructors, do you mean presenters at the conference or instructors to what? Any ideas?
I don't know. Trisha's Twitter didn't have any clarity.
I'm going to assume she's talking about HR practitioners presenting at the conference, because I wrote a post on that, and the count that I did was out of 95 presenters on Monday, four of them were actual what I call an HR practitioner, which means if you looked at Mark's post today, anywhere from generalist all the way up to VP level, actually doing HR in a company, servicing a client group. I thought that number was low, and I asked China about it, and appropriately so, the first thing she asked is, well, have you ever submitted to present? And of course I said no and kind of slithered away with my tail between my legs.
Yeah, like a little snap moment right there. She got you.
It's on videotape too, if you guys want to see it.
but I will say this, to get back to the original question, China, presented that to me, and really, I agree that it's tough to get HR people in the field to present, but clearly those folks are out there, and I think it'd be a good thing for SHRM to do some outreach and give that as a project to someone to get that number up a little bit. I don't even need half. I'm just looking for maybe a fourth of the people presenting to be people doing it in the field. And the other thing I told China is that's nothing against consultants, because I may be one someday. But if it's serving the practitioner in the field, which is the majority of their base, then I think they need to seek more practitioners actually presenting.
Yeah, in China's defense, China is trying desperately to call in, and we've not been able to connect her. So I'm going to try. There's a couple more folks on the line. I'm going to see if one of them might be her. So hang on one second. Area code 225.
Yeah, hi, it's Robin Schooling.
Hello, hang on one second.
Hey, Steve, you're probably looking for like a 202 or 703 area code.
Okay, I just put up area code 405. Who's on that line?
That's Blogging for Jobs, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey.
All right, we're still...
Hey, does anybody else think it's funny that Steve's trying to find China and he doesn't want to kick people off as they come on?
One off.
No, I'm happy to kick people off, believe me. it's funny that when we first started doing this, right, Mark, right, we did this on an impromptu thing, and it was about a 15-minute lead time on the very first one, and I don't know, we had five or six callers, and Ever since then, we've been pretty much overwhelmed with callers every time. So I guess that's good, but it may be a signal. It's time to someone made a comment. I need to upgrade my server here, and they're probably right.
Yeah, it's time to get a sponsor maybe, Steve. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No kidding. You know, in fact,
we did talk about sponsorship.
Yeah, that's right. We do need a sponsor. I'm thinking about getting some of my class sessions sponsored as well. You know, like the Taco Bell lectures and things like that. It's a project I've been working on, but so far I've been unsuccessful.
As long as you get free food with it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, just get a little bit, you know, maybe not quite so serious in terms of, let's just talk about the conference itself, the fun parts of it. You know, what were the best, you know, sort of off hours or unscheduled things that went on down there? Who threw the best parties?
Oh, well, I didn't attend what I'm guessing was the best party, but I observed part of it. Yahoo Hot Jobs certainly threw a big party down in the French Quarter, and I observed walking by the party location with HR folks who had their badges still on from the conference, having a mighty fine time throwing beads at one another. So that's all I'll say. I think someone who is attending, a few folks have pictures of that. Not the prettiest sight, but maybe it looked like a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I mean,
Career Builder had a great party.
Yeah, there were some really good parties, but I agree with Jessica that, you know, one bit of common sense advice is to remove your badge before you remove your shirt.
Seriously? Oh, come on, people.
So.
Did you learn that one the hard way, Mark?
No, the hottest-looking post ever.
I did, actually. They asked me to flash, which would have been a shocking experience for everyone, but somebody threw beads at me, and I flipped around and threw them back at her, and fortunately she had enough to drink that she didn't see them hit her in the head, so I felt really successful. But, yeah, it was an interesting experience in that regard. And I won't say who was with me, but I was at a place at about 4 a.m., thus my voice being lost, and did see someone dancing provocatively still with their Sherm badge on in a completely random club. So it was pretty entertaining to watch that. I think I have a picture of that somewhere.
Take your badges off, people.
I know.
Seriously.
Lots of
Hey, Mark, you need to publish that picture and just go, you know, with the black box over the face.
I'll put it up right now as we're talking.
Yeah, I didn't see that one make any of the official, you know, reports from Sherm, you know, that we were reading all week. That's for sure.
That's not going to be on the brochure for next year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Did here's an interesting thing. I read something today. It wasn't about the Sherm conference, but it was about conferences in general. And sort of the basic point was, you know, with all the bloggers, all the live blogging, all the daily reports, all the tweets, all the video blogs, you know, does it sort of render, you know, actual attendance at these big national shows, does it make it sort of less important for the, you know, the average practitioner or person to attend? Is it going to hurt the conferences in the long run?
I mean, I think that's a good question. I think immediately when you said that, of like the folks at ERE for their big expos, they basically live stream almost everything that's being presented, the keynotes and then the big, you know, breakout sessions. And so you can attend virtually. And for their past few expos, they probably had like a couple hundred people dialing into the web and watching along. But, you know, I think while there's value in being able to, you know, get information from that, from bloggers, from bloggers, like there's nothing, and the biggest thing that I get at conferences is there's nothing that really replaces the whole networking piece and being able to build relationships in person. So, I mean, I think that stuff is cool, but I don't know if it really replaces everything.
Yeah, and that's right. That's the impression that, you know, from some of the things I read, too, is, well, yeah, it's great. You can get a good flavor of an event remotely from all the folks who are tweeting it and blogging it, but certainly you can't. The value is certainly in those casual or side interactions.
And then miss the opportunity of Stelzner flashing you, so that's the other thing.
Yeah. Now, did you at the Sherm conference, did you find there was a lot of ample opportunity? Was it set up in such a way that these casual or networking, you know, events and meetings could happen easily?
I'd say not so much, actually. I mean, I saw a lot of HR folks, you know, kind of standing off to their own or, you know, just not really socializing. But I think if folks, I mean, for me, though, like you have something like Twitter or the blog, you know, which gives me initial introductions to people, and then it was just a matter of going up to, you know, strangers saying, oh, my gosh, I know you. introduce myself. So I think like the more folks get involved in social media stuff, perhaps it can provide, you know, more opportunities for people to connect. But on its own, I don't know if, because it's weird to just go up to, I think it's hard to be social at a conference if you don't have connections already or something like social media to facilitate connections. I think that's one of the hard parts of going to these things.
Yeah, now speaking of that, I noticed one of the things that got announced this week was the Sherm folks opening up a platform or a section of their website for networking and for connecting with other Sherm members. Have any of you guys checked that out or have any opinions about that?
Well, Lance and I aren't members, so.
Well, then you're not allowed. You're out. Forget it.
Yeah, I'm not a member either. And I think
is the dog a member? Whoever's
dog
is barking?
Yeah.
No, the dog's not a member.
But that may be one of the challenges. I mean, there is a, you know, if the intention was to bring members closer together through social networking, then perhaps that platform will be a tremendous success. If the secondary intention is to bring in net new members who may not be privy to the organization otherwise, I think that that closed environment will result in a failure. And so it's hard to be a social network without being social. And in my sense, I'm talking about openness. And Chris, I know you wrote some great stuff on this. You might have a comment or two.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback on that, I mean, you know, it kind of goes back to size for me because, you know, I have checked out Sherm Connect, and, you know, I think it's a good effort. It's in its beta form. You know, the thing that's interesting, and this is absolutely the way every one of us would do it, is if you're a member of Sherm, all 250,000 members of Sherm have an account waiting for them. They just have to sign in to get it. So that kind of scale is pretty amazing. I think one of the biggest challenges is just the same thing. It's the size of Sherm, and one of the things I wrote is that, you know, I think they're going to be challenged across those 250,000 members, many of them, you know, who aren't active in social media. It's a big challenge for them over time to, first of all, just make sure they're aware of Sherm Connect, because if you go to the site, I went to the site without, like, getting a direct link to it, and, you know, I like to think I'm fairly proficient at clicking around, and it took me 3 or 4 minutes to figure out where it was. So I think the size, just the sheer size of all the content they have, makes it a little hard to find, but I think it's a good effort. I think it's something they needed to do.
Lance here, and if you go to Google right now, go Sherm Connect, and you'll see the 7 out of the first 10 results are social media results, and none of them connect our actual Sherm sites that connect to the actual site. So if they want to know the power of social media, somebody looking to connect with Sherm through this website is going to read the HR Capitalist, who shows up number one, Twitter, another Twitter, that sort of thing. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, so that kind of gives you an idea. I mean, I think it needs to overcome some of those challenges.
Hey, Lance, who shows up number one?
I forgot the name of the guy, but it's HR Capitalist.
Your HR guy?
I think the lesson there is, yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't bite. Ah.
I think the real lesson there is Chris is doing some good SEO, I guess. That's really
SEO rules.
Yeah, that's the message to take from that story. You know, I just want to apologize one more time to China, who's still trying to dial in, I know. We do have an open line, at least one more left, so I apologize.
Only China.
Yeah.
Only China.
The only one who can't get through, and I feel bad. You know, she could have nixed the show probably on me, you know. She could have.
Well, I wish I had thought to invite her. I just didn't know if she would have time.
Well, while we're talking about China, can I embarrass her? And she's probably listening. There was a post that Chris wrote the other day about her, and I just have to say, especially after this conference, that China Gorman, I just, you know, I'm excited and really, really excited about the role that she's playing at Sherm and how she's been out front with everything. So the Great Sherm Hope, if you guys haven't seen the post yet, I would definitely recommend that you check that.
Hey, if you Google China Gorman, am I number one there too? Hold on, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, just do it. Let's find out, you know.
as well.
That is not my dog, I might add.
I am gonna ask whoever's dog that is to please try to either get him to make a nice comment or ask a question or get him away from the phone.
Right. Darby at value.
Now, if China comes up number one in the Washington Post, second on Twitter, and then this little
Who's that smart sound guy in the
Colin
background?
Gorman comes up third for me on HR Capitalist. HR Capitalist is third.
Yeah, HR Capitalist is third. So I've heard of them. I don't know what they're up to, but
I just did China Gorman. And it came up number one, and literally, I'm shocked about that. I was joking before. That's craziness.
Wow, that's amazing.
I was using Chrome. That's probably part of the problem.
All right, we've got a little bit of feedback there. So if anybody's on the line now and also listening to the live stream, sort of choose one or the other. Do me a favor. You know, I hate to be that radio guy. Hang up your radio. Turn down your radio. Turn it down.
But still, come on, people. You know better.
You know, I have no training for this. You know, I'm sort of a systems guy, but I'm not a professionally trained radio host by any means.
A lot of first-time callers, long-time listeners.
Yeah, exactly. And a very inexperienced host.
stop it.
If I knew we were going to get this popular, I would have hired somebody smarter and probably better looking, too, because
a great voice for radio.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Steve and Shauna, why don't you guys ask us something juicy? Let's make this interesting.
Well, actually,
what do you want to know?
I have a question for them, if you don't mind, Jessica, real quick. So, given that you guys weren't at the conference and given that you were watching the Twitter stream and reading the blogs, did you feel like there was something that was missing or something you wish we would have covered or addressed?
Ooh, good question. I guess it's really hard to get... Okay, that was Darby, sorry. It's really hard to get a feel for a conference just off of social media sometimes, despite all the attention it was getting. Because you really are just taking it in, you know, secondhand. So, I don't know, maybe...
Yeah, well, I guess for me, I think the most valuable parts of the coverage were sort of the daily wrap-up posts that you guys wrote.
That's true.
That all of you wrote, and then sort of the end of conference wrap-up posts that you wrote, I thought were all really valuable. To me, what was a lot less valuable probably overall is just the real sort of endless series of tweets. If you're in this community and you follow lots of the same types of people who are maybe attending the same event, Jack Welch makes a point about HR needs to be more strategic, and I saw 7 tweets about it. You know, Welch says HR needs to be more strategic. You know, and that's cool and everything, but I don't know how. You know, to someone who's watching that, it's just an endless stream of that, and there was a lot of that, and that's fine. But to me, the more thoughtful at the end of the day or the end of the week, you know, wrap ups and analysis stuff, I thought was excellent by everyone on the call, really, and I thought really valuable.
Oh, so you didn't like half of the tweeters complaining about how hot it was? Is that what you're saying?
I was almost going to say that. One of the things I learned was it's very hot in New Orleans in the end of June, and so.
Yeah, shocker.
All right, how about this one, Jessica? Like, of all the people you met in person who you hadn't met before that you knew only online, who sort of surprised you? You know, taller, shorter, funnier, stranger. You know, who really was not who you expected?
Well. I wouldn't say he wasn't what I expected, but there's 2 people that I met in person for the first time ever who I'd interacted with online, and I think I'm like their biggest fans now. That's Lance and John Holland at Workforce. Both of these gentlemen, just super authentic, and I know we all use the word authentic all the time, but both like super authentic, super funny, super smart, and I'm huge fans. You know, I was fans of them before, but there's something about meeting folks in person and getting the opportunity to hang out and connect. Lance is funnier than I realized, so, I mean, if you guys get the chance to hang out with him, he'll keep you laughing. I mean, it's not even like jokes necessarily, he's just a funny person, so.
How about you, Lance? Did anybody really surprise you that you met for the first time? Any observations along that line?
Well, let's see. The only person I met before the conference was Stelzner, so I wasn't surprised by him, unfortunately. I mean, no, not really. I mean, you know, I think that's, I mean, personally, I think that's why at least our blogger panel went so well, because I thought everybody kind of had the same kind of voice that they always had. So it's like conversing like we would online, only in real life and in real time. It was really cool.
One thing I did hear quite a bit was about Chris Dunn. People kept saying to me, oh, my gosh, he's so much taller than what I would have realized. So that's probably one
thing. How tall are you?
Was Jessica talking about me?
Yes. Yes.
I'm 6'2".
Oh, wow. You know, when he's wearing heels, he's like 6'6", so that's just...
6'6 with the afro, right?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. You're brave enough to say it, though, Mark. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm here to help, Chris. Yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Anytime.
There's nothing like a good Fletcher reset, right?
There
that was Fletch, right?
That was
yeah.
Good call,
yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yep, showing my age, yep.
Oh, stop.
No, I thought, I mean, Steve, I thought everybody was exactly what you would have expected. In fact, I was joking around at the tweet up that they should have just held up a picture frame for everybody to put around their faces. I mean, you look
for the avatars?
Yeah, I mean, you look at these people and you see them all the time. They came streaming in every day, and you finally get a chance to put their personalities to a test, if you will, through interaction. And I thought everybody was literally to the person exactly what I would have expected. Exactly. And that's really saying something, because I think it's easy to pretend to be something you're not, and it's tempting to pretend to be something you're not. So not, again, as Jessica said, not to bet around authenticity, but I was really impressed by that.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I guess what you're saying is that the fact that you can interact with someone in an online manner, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever the case may be, or through their blogs, and really you really feel like you get to know them you really make a personal connection, even though you hadn't met in person, right?
Right, exactly. But I will say, you know, I'm thrilled that I had gone, because taking those relationships to the next level by taking them offline and getting to know a little bit more about, you know, the rest of these people's lives was fantastic. It really was a tremendously rewarding experience.
Would you do it again, Mark? Would you go to the next one?
I think I would, but I have to tell you, I think I would if I knew that, you know, the 50 people that I admire or more that I've met through social media would also be there. I think that social interaction with that group was the most important reason for me attending.
Hey, Steve, you know, the other thing that's kind of begs, you know, Mark's talking about that, and I agree with that. What Jessica said earlier is, I mean, do you ever wonder, I mean, we've got all these, like, built-in relationships through social media, so there's a lot of familiar faces, we connect with them. What happens to the people who go there and don't have those relationships? I mean, and Jessica was talking about this earlier, just how people maybe don't have, if they're a little bit introverted, then it's times three or four. How do they do that?
Yeah, that's a great point, right? How do you sustain, right? You've kind of all indicated, or I know Jessica did, that the real value, right, in the conference was the networking, right, the side conversations, the impromptu meetings and whatnot. But right, if you're not really sort of that active in that world right now, back in your office and back in your home, how do you maintain that from a national conference when you go back home? I think that's a great point.
And I'm going to speak for China. I think what China would say is that it comes down to some of the metro chapters of CHRM and the state chapters of CHRM. I suppose there's some sense of community there, but it's just hard for me to believe that it would be as strong as kind of the digital community that we're kind of wrapped into, which is really cool.
Maybe it'll motivate those introverted people, the people that weren't connected, to join the social media now that they've been to the conference.
Yeah, if nothing else, Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, did you guys from your panel particularly, right, from folks maybe who talked to you before or after your panel or during the week, do you feel like you made some converts? Did you bring anybody, sort of make them realize the power of these mediums and sort of bring them over to that realization?
It's a good question. I think most of the people in the room, and I'm assuming a lot of the people listening, are already social media junkies.
Right. If you're listening to this call right now on the internet on Friday night, you probably are pretty clued in. Yeah.
On July 3rd.
Yeah. Right.
And probably on Twitter at the same moment.
Right.
Hey, Steve, you gave us the same time slot as Sherm did at Wednesday at 11:30.
I meant to ask about that. Yeah. I did. I had that on my list of things to ask, and I didn't get to it. Why'd you get such a bad time slot?
Gave you a bad time slot.
I did see a lot of tweets right up that morning saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't see the blogger panel. I gotta go." There was a lot of that on the net that day.
Well, you know what? It was kind of a risk, I will say, for Sherm to let us do this panel, and they don't often do panel sessions just because there's a lot of uncertainty about what might happen. So I don't know. One could hope, after seeing what I think was success with this first session, that maybe next year we're going to be keynotes for Mega at least.
Yeah, yeah. But no, getting back to the earlier question, though, do you feel like you sort of brought any, you brought anybody to Twitter or to blogging, or do you feel like that connection got made at all?
I had maybe two people after the session come up to me, and I have their business cards. I need to follow up with them, who were saying, they've been curious about blogging. They had no clue, what Fistful of Talent was prior to this session, but they want to connect me with their recruiter or their other folks on their team to kind of connect them and just get their eyes open to the world of social media. So I have a few contacts who are going to be that I'll be reaching out with. But I think for the most part, like Chris said, folks who attended we had a lot of familiar faces in our session, and also who tuned in digitally to let us know that they were watching online. But it's a starting point, I think.
Hey Steve, the other contrast I would give you is, I think most people in the room, probably most of the people listening, are already part of the community. They're the junkies of the business. I think where you go out into the great unknown is when, and I know a lot of people on this call have done this, and I'm going to do one next month in Huntsville, is when you go to a local chapter and you're trying to pitch them on the need for HR to be involved in social media, because then you'll go into those rooms and literally you're lucky if 10% of the room has ever experienced anything, blog, Twitter, stuff like that. So that's really kind of the level where I think you have a chance to get some converts.
Yeah, I see that a lot, Chris, in my classes, and I teach graduate HR classes, and so I've got a range of experience in my classes, but I almost always see that's the case. I have very few people involved in Twitter, very few people involved in blogging. Everybody's on Facebook, but that's really just posting pictures from their keg parties and whatnot. Well, I do that too a lot. I mean, I'm big on that. But...
Oh yeah, you have tons of keg parties.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm still hanging on to that lifestyle. Hey, we've got one more caller. We've got one more caller with their hand raised, so we'll take one more shot here if you guys.
Yeah, Lauren's trying to call in.
Okay.
Here, I'm so sorry about that. My apologies. Hi guys, my BlackBerry is still on a different time zone.
Oh no.
All right, well, that's okay. Thanks for calling. This is Steve. Thanks for calling in, Lori.
Steve.
Well, you'll just have to stay after class. That's how I deal with my students who are late. So thanks for calling in.
I won't interrupt this any longer, but I just wanted to thank you guys for putting together this whole entire HR happy hour, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, thanks, Shauna. Thanks, Shauna, for everything.
Well, I'm happy you can make it.
What do you think, Laurie, since you joined up, what was the highlight of the conference for you?
So I'm actually looking at the tweets on Twitter that are related to this session, and I think the highlight of the conference is the fact that we're all together, we're forming this vibrant HR community that's based on social media, and I really see a connection between what we do as HR practitioners, the use of social media, these conferences, everything is starting to come together and harmonize, and that's a really exciting movement to watch. It means that the HR practice as a whole is going to start elevating, it's going to start being engaged, and hopefully this further adds to our credibility.
The cynic in me would say you were late on the call because you spent like 20 minutes writing that statement up.
Yeah, was that a prepared statement?
It was very nice. It was very nice.
Great.
No, I really mean it. I mean, I'm just excited. This is the kind of HR vibrant community and environment that I was looking for when I was an HR practitioner. And to see it start developing is just, it's wonderful. It's the byproduct of everything that everybody is doing. And it's so exciting just to even have my hands peripherally in this movement. I'm thrilled by it. It exceeds my expectations every day.
So I don't mean
to sound disingenuous about it. So I mean it.
But let me throw this out to you guys, because I don't mean to be a cynical Jessica. I wonder, is there a point, though, at which it's going to become noisy and too saturated? And, because I worry, I don't want the message for these sessions that we do, and you guys might think that I'm, kind of snobby and saying this, but I don't want the message in every session we do to be that everyone needs to go start an HR blog and become a blogger, because I think the reality is there are a lot of people who can't write, and I think there are a lot of people who don't have maybe the right voice or won't have value to add. And so, is there a point at which this will become, there's just too many people, too many voices, too noisy? I'm curious what you guys think.
Well, Jessica, Steve's already doing that by having people leave the call.
Shut up. Just stop talking, right?
I'm going to indiscriminately start doing it again here soon. We have about 10 more minutes left, and unless some more interesting things start getting said, that's it. We're out.
Well, China's still trying to get on.
I know. I feel so bad. And I reached out to China this morning because I felt bad. Well, A, I did not specifically invite her, but B, the Blog Talk Radio guys put us on the front page, which was really cool. I said that earlier, but they also slapped a big SHRM logo on the advertising banner for the show, which they did not.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
They didn't get that from me, So I checked with her to make sure she was cool with that, which she was. She was absolutely fine with it, and so then she certainly spent enough time trying to call in, and I hope she doesn't think I purposely didn't put her on the line. But
I've invited.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is Lori, and I just wanted to say that even if it does get too noisy, I don't think there are enough people in HR who are really interested in writing, but I'm excited about the fact that people are willing to try, and they're willing to read, and they're willing to participate in some capacity. And frankly, there aren't enough HR and recruiting practitioners in the world that this will get too noisy. So, Jessica, I just think, based on our volume, we're not a big enough group that it'll ever become too crazy. People will come, people will go. The fact that they're willing to try, I think, is a huge step for our community.
Well, and I think, and this is Lance, kind of the Darwinism type thing where good things get pushed to the top, bad things get pushed down. I think that ultimately happens. If somebody's no good and people figure that out, after a while they're going to lose motivation because nobody's commenting, nobody's coming anymore, they're getting no value out of it. So I think the cream rises to the top, and everything else doesn't happen.
The funny thing too, one thing I notice is when you're trying to communicate with folks in the HR community, or for me, it's more my students, my HR students, and I try to explain to them, really to look to the blogs and look to the social networks as really a really valuable source of information and insight and connection. I think certainly I get a lot of feedback like, they're a little bit confused, especially honestly by some of the names. When I say, go read the HR Minion. She wrote this great post about XYZ. And I linked one time to, I don't know if Charlene is listening or not, but one time I made one of her posts, an assigned reading in one of my classes. And I had a student ask me about that. Like, what is with the HR bartender? Like, why should we take that seriously? And it was a real question I got from a student. Almost, how can that be sort of academically relevant if you've got a name like bartender or minion or punk rock HR for that matter?
So you're not teaching your students that HR will drive them to drink? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think after my classes they realize it. I don't explicitly teach it, but I think some of them make that conclusion.
Well, I think China may be on the line.
Is she?
I don't know. I have a caller here. Let me see. This is not the area code I was looking for. Hi, area code 571.
That would be China.
Oh, China.
Hi.
Hey, listen, China.
To go. We finally got her on.
I'm so sorry that you had some trouble calling in. I really apologize for that.
Hey, who was it devoted to HR, I think, told me, try on your cell phone, and I got ready. I've been using the landline. Couldn't get in, First time on the cell phone in life.
Yeah, I kicked some people off the line, too. China, this is Steve. We've never met, but hi.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks for calling in. Let me just make a quick statement. We have 5 minutes to go on the live stream, so anybody who's listening, the live stream itself will cut off in 5 more minutes. For the folks who are on the line right now, either talking or just listening on the line, we can go longer. It's fine, and whatever goes on after the one-hour mark will get included in the archive. It just won't be streaming live anymore to people listening on the website. Okay?
It's a party line.
All right. So, I just want to make that statement. China, thanks for joining us. Do you want to make any comments at all about some of the things you've heard in the last 50 minutes?
Well, here's what I love about the conversation. We've got really smart, really fantastic HR professionals talking about how to make SHRM better. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what SHRM wants to talk about. I'm taking notes like crazy. And many of the things that Mark and that Chris have surfaced are all the things we're already working on, segmentation, both in terms of message and content and kinds of engagement. We're working on that. I love the conversation about SHRM Connect. Yeah, SHRM may be a little bit behind the curve, but it doesn't mean we're not making strong moves forward. And you know, my bottom line kind of conversation is so I'll be a little direct. So it's really easy to be outside of SHRM and throw hardballs, softballs, and spitballs at us. But if you really care, join us and help do it from the inside. People like Lori, people like Chris, who are critical but involved. That's how you make things change, not from the outside, throwing stuff over, lobbing stuff over the fence, but from the inside. And so I welcome, SHRM welcomes everybody who wants to move the profession forward, who's in alignment with the power and the direction of SHRM, to join us to move it forward.
Great.
That's a really good point.
Thanks, China, for that, and I appreciate you calling in and listening to. And were you like kind of chomping at the bit for the last 50 minutes, like ready to make? You know, I kind of see you furiously dialing the phone here. Selzner said what? I got a response.
I know. I'm putting my spitball machine down now. Damn it.
You know, you noticed too. China came on the line, and everybody else got quiet all of a sudden. Right?
Mark hasn't said anything here that he really hasn't said to me.
No, that's true.
Lance hasn't said anything here that we sort of haven't gone back and forth about. You know, a little while. So I'm not really speaking to them because they know I'm speaking, but they're still not members, so maybe they don't really know. But. you know, I'm speaking to the folks who are listening, and I would just say, if you really care about moving the profession forward, $160 is chump change, and it brings you the power of 250,000 people. Now, to be fair, there are 1.4 million, according to the BLS, there are 1.4 million HR people in the United States, but when we get over 500,000, when we're approaching a million, think of the power of that. Think of the challenge of harnessing all of that, but think of the power of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, China, let me ask you a question since you're on the line. In terms of the, you know, we talked a lot about the blogger session and the panel and sort of how that was received. How did the sort of rank and file SHRM member or SHRM, you know, other SHRM leadership sort of receive the opening up to the bloggers and to the social media world? How's that going down with the average member?
I think it's going very well to the average member who's engaged in social media. They're feeling like they're being validated because I think they feel a little bit like outliers right now. So I think it's going well with them. For the folks, and the vast majority of them are not engaged in social media, it's like we do with other kinds of learning at SHRM. We're bringing them along. We're putting it up on the radar screen that says, you need to know about this, not just because you know, it's the next thing. But because it will help you be more effective in your job and in your leadership role, in your company, and in your community. As far as how did it go down at CHRM with my colleagues on, you know, at the executive level, they're all for it. You'll see lots and lots of CHRM executives and other senior leaders on Twitter a lot, and you'll start to see them, I think, on CHRM Connect as well. But no resistance, zero resistance from CHRM.
So, China, why now, though? Can I ask? Like, I'm curious, why now? I mean, it's exciting, and I'm really pleased, but why now?
I think it's a confluence of a lot of things. I'll give Lori Ruderman some credit. I'll give you, Jessica Lee, some credit. I'll give Amy Thompson, who's been on board for just about a year, our new director of public affairs, who's really driving the social media platform from a media affairs and a public affairs perspective. And it just, the truth is, guys, it came all together at our legislative conference in March. Jessica and Lori were there. I was there. Amy was there. And it was one of those, put it in the blender, and, gosh, you got a frappuccino out of it. I mean, it's just And then there was no stopping.
Man, I love frappuccinos.
I don't know if this question is, like, provocative, but do you think new leadership has something to do with it?
You know, perhaps. I also think it's paying attention and being smart. We do have some new people at the top of CHRM who bring some outside experience. And we're paying attention, which is not to say we haven't been paying attention, I think, but I think we've developed a new sense of urgency.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, China, for sharing that. I just want to make one more comment here. For the folks, we are sort of over our time, and I know people, it's holiday weekend, and everybody's got things to do, so please don't feel obliged to just hang out just because we're still
we're
on
cool.
here. It's almost time to hit the refrigerator again for me, too, so, you know, there's a limit to how long I can continue on happy hour. But we can definitely, if there's interest in doing another show like this or some subset of this on a different topic, you know, we're certainly, happy to set it up and schedule it.
Hey, China, on behalf of Steve, without consulting him at all, how would you like to be a guest on a future episode?
I'd love to. No problem.
We'll make sure we give you the correct number to dial in, though, right at the beginning.
I know.
Well, I'll just remember to do it from my cell phone as opposed to a landline.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know about that. Well, hey, we do have about 14 people still on the line, so really it's just my extensive preparation. I've run out of prepared questions. So if anybody has any questions, comments at all, or want to, you know, shout them out, just say hi, or you know, we can wind it down here, too. I'm cool with that.
Lori, you posed a question on Twitter when I said that $160 was chump change, and you said maybe people aren't members because $160 is cost prohibitive. It's a good point, but when you look at some of the other organizations that Mark talked about that potentially were competitors. Here's what I'm hearing, and I'm talking to a lot of CHROs these days, as you can imagine, because of where CHRM is headed and how we need to engage more at the top of organizations. What I'm hearing is they're canceling those other really cost prohibitive sources of data because they see CHRM's data as more robust and more accessible to everybody, not just to a sort of a chosen few, for a tiny fraction of what some of those other organizations cost. And so when I think about the value for $160, if all you ever did was to call the Knowledge Advisor hotline 3 times in a year, you got twice your membership fee value.
Well, I don't disagree, China, but I think about a lot of HR professionals right now, and many of them are not in a position to have, especially in smaller organizations, their membership reimbursed. They may be making $40,000 a year, and they're stretching that across a family budget. I just think there are some challenges within our profession around seeing a value for that $160 and explaining it to some of the leaders of companies that aren't part of that Fortune 1000, so smaller small businesses, and maybe that's where SHRM needs to get out there a little bit more and reach out to some of these smaller organizations and say, it's worth reimbursing your HR team for this $160 because here's the value we bring.
Right, and that is such a great point. As we've moved through our strategic business review, one of the critical areas of opportunity for us is to engage more with business owners, business leaders. One of the things, again, here's Amy Thompson, with the 25 best small companies to work for in America, the 25 best medium-sized companies to work for in America, and congratulations, Dexco.
Can I interrupt? Hey, let me interrupt for a second. Hey, Chris, if you don't make that list next year, we know who to blame.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Right?
There won't be a Dexco.
One of the things that Amy's done that helps us in that regard is we now have a new media partner, not just HR Magazine and SHRM, but Fortune Small Business. Those 50 companies are going to be highlighted in a magazine called Fortune Small Business that goes to 1 million small business owners in the United States.
Oh, that's good.
Now, it's a great point, Lori, and we are absolutely working to solidify the business case for SHRM membership, whether you're a small organization or a really large organization.
Right.
China, can I jump in there? This is Lance.
Please, Lance.
I don't think the cost has been – I mean, the cost isn't the issue for me. So personally, I don't mind shelling out $160 for that. And I know we've talked about in the past kind of what doesn't appeal to being part of SHRM, to me at least. But why do you – if cost isn't the biggest issue when you're talking internally about – raising your membership numbers. What is? What do you think are the roadblocks that are preventing people from going on?
Well, here's something that I've observed in the last almost 2 years since I've joined SHRM, and that's the proliferation of what I would call niche HR groups that are springing up all over the place, and they look like so I'll just name a couple of names. Latinos in HR, the National Association of African Americans in HR, discrete, established sort of communities based on identity in HR as opposed to function or level. Now, function and level are segmentation that we are working on, but we've also got this other group that, and the majority of these people are already SHRM members. And so one of the things that we're really going to be paying attention to over the next 2 years as we work on the segmentation in various kinds of ways beyond geographic is how does SHRM really meet the community needs of its members and using that also to drive more members so that we're not creating all these little bitty HR associations either geographically or nationally, but rather trying to harness the power of everybody who's in HR and then being able to drive those individual sort of community affinity needs through SHRM membership in other ways. You all are absolutely right. We are covered over in opportunity for engagement with HR practitioners in every function, at every level, in every self-described kind of community, and we're on it. You know, this economy has put under a microscope in ways that maybe perhaps hadn't been so clear the opportunities SHRM really does have to serve the profession going forward.
Yeah, I think, I mean, China, you're touching on something that I think is kind of interesting. I mean, there are over 800 active and credible HR associations in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
So
are the individual SHRM chapters in that number, Mark?
Yeah, I'd have them in that number, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Because in effect,
600 of them are. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also competing with the voice of your chapters in many respects. At least it's my view. Maybe you disagree with that. But obviously in economic times, people are choosing perhaps geography over size, in the sense that I can only afford to travel to that local event. I can only afford to travel to my community SHRM. So, yeah, I think and the opportunity cost, what it costs to put up a Ning, what it costs to put up a new group, what it costs to drive a new association is incredibly low. And I think that's the challenge. The entry cost to potentially create value, perceive value or otherwise, is at an all-time low.
I think that's right on the money. And as it relates to education and conferences and those kinds of things, I think you're right on the money. But here's the interesting thing. Our renewal rate for current members is up hugely this year. So what we believe we're seeing is that the activity at the local level is much stronger, so engagement with local chapters is very strong. There's nothing like being face-to-face with people when you're looking for a job or when your company's going through tough times and you need all hands on deck and there's no such thing as a bad idea from a leadership perspective. At the same time, because SHRM is such a great disseminator of current and important HR information, we're seeing our members stay with us at a higher percentage than we have for many, many years this year. And so that tells us that, you know, the tactical kind of conversation we've been having for some time is the relationship between the tactical HR job, which is getting people paid and getting insurance paid and hiring people and making sure that you retain them and those kinds of things, and the strategic are happening at the same time. And right now the tactical is where it's at. And I think SHRM is really strong there. And we have opportunities, I think, to really continue to improve and move the strategic piece forward. Chris, I think you and I talked about that the other day.
Yep, sure did.
Can I jump in and ask a quick question?
Go ahead. This is Lance, right?
No, this is Peter Clayton.
Oh, go ahead, Peter.
Hi,
Peter.
Hi, China. I really enjoyed the conference. I'm wondering how the membership has reacted to your television commercial campaign, and if you've been able to track any of the renewals or any new memberships to that campaign.
You know, it's a great question, and we have lots of good anecdotal evidence. But the thrust of that campaign was not internal; it was entirely external. And so the data that we have, we did a survey of business leaders, policymakers, legislators before we started the campaign, and then after, because what we were trying to do was raise the brand awareness of SHRM as the voice of the HR profession to policymakers, to legislators, to the C-suite. And then we did a post analysis, and in fact we did move the needle. The whole point of that and tying the campaign to the CNN election coverage was because we knew this new Congress, regardless of who won the White House, was going to be a very active Congress as it relates to workplace legislation that would eventually end on the desk of HR people, and we wanted SHRM at the federal level and SHRM at the state level, when we were calling to talk to our legislators about our positions and our feedback about pending legislation, we wanted them to know who was calling and the power behind that call. And we were very successful. Now, anecdotally, around our members, for the most part, as I was traveling around last year and this year speaking to local chapters and at state conferences, what I continued to hear at every level, high level as well as as well as middle level and just starting out, wherever I went, people loved the campaign and felt, you know, so the CHRO of one of the largest high-tech and defense manufacturers in the country said to us, made me proud to be an HR guy. And that seemed to be the prevailing opinion. Lots of folks thought, a lot of money to spend, I wouldn't choose to spend the money that way. But you know what? We're testifying in front of Congress. We're having conversations with Senator Schumer about sponsoring our new Employment Verification Act legislation. I mean, the payoff was clearly there. So just answer your question just by way of review, Peter, it wasn't about membership and growing membership.
Mm-hmm.
We think it had a positive impact. It was about influence, brand awareness, and the ability to get to policymakers and legislators in this congressional session.
And I'd like to add something to that as well. This is Robin Schooling here in Louisiana. And,
hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you? We used it, we piggybacked at the local level with our chapter on the commercials and did use it to tie into some new member recruitment locally. And we were able to kind of take the message very broadly out to business owners, presidents of small companies, and use that as a sort of a jumping off point for them to get their HR teams to start with the chapter and then ultimately join SHRM. And we did see some results. So initially I thought it was a lot of money to spend too, but it worked here on the small scale.
And Robin, we're hearing that, you know, all over the place. Anecdotally, you know, we don't have sort of a message from the faculty data to go through it, but it's enough of a consensus for us to really know that, you know, that it did have a positive impact.
You know what has a positive impact on a call? When somebody blows their nose.
Yeah, that's great. You know, can we get the dog back, Shauna? Can we get Darby the HR dog back on the line?
No, I sent Darby upstairs because of his barking.
You guys are having a great conversation. That just,
you know, I'll tell you what else too. And you know, there's a pretty interesting back channel going on Twitter right now as well. Some good comments. Lori is running some informal Twitter polls right now, as I see, about reimbursement for SHRM membership. And there's been some good feedback on that from some of the folks out in the Twitter world as well.
Yeah, I think the one challenge is getting HR people to see that the $160, if their company doesn't reimburse it, is a good investment for them. Mm-hmm. In China, this is a really great testament to getting the HR community together, being part of SHRM. If something like this can be done formally through your organization even, that would be a wonderful investment for your members. And I don't know, it starts to get them engaged, and they can see an immediate return on their investment for $160.
Yeah, and I could testify that the return on investment for this show has got to be really high because the investment is so low. It's pretty much zero. And so...
So be nice.
Well, no, I mean, everything. I mean, it's really just our time. Everything we're doing tonight is completely free. There's no cost involved. There's no special technical expertise required, and thankfully for us. And
obviously,
yeah,
you get what you pay for, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I know. But look at this. You know, I tell you what, we are going to smash ratings records with this show today. Guarantee it.
Awesome.
Guarantee it.
Cool.
Well, you know, I think it really shows the power of social media. I mean, I learned about this because I just happened to be on Twitter, and obviously a bunch of people I follow were tuned into this thing, and that's why I called in. And I attended the tweet up down in New Orleans, and I was just absolutely blown away with the number of people that were there and the conversations that were taking place. That's really the key.
Yeah, I think you're right, Peter. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that it can help in any across the wide spectrum of endeavor in HR. I mean, I primarily got engaged in the community too when I got picked to teach a class in HR technology, and quite frankly, was not really prepared to do it. And I knew I needed to reach out and connect and learn from as many experts as I could to try to deliver a quality product. And I think you can make that argument across almost any aspect of the HR profession right now, that there's that opportunity for folks to connect and to reach out to just, you know, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of experts via these tools.
Right, right. Lance, I would go back to your question or the conversation we'd had earlier about, you know, working from the inside versus working from the outside. And I know you met Judy Clark from Portland in New Orleans. And I know you would probably agree with me that if ever there was a case for, you know, looks can be deceiving, it would be that. She's a great example of somebody who works from the inside, dedicated to the profession, a significant and inspirational leader who has engaged in significant kinds of ways to change it from the inside. And she'd be the first to tell you that SHRM doesn't do everything right, never has, probably never will, and could probably give you a top 10, you know, stuff that, you know, SHRM doesn't do well at all. But she was on the SHRM board. She's now on the SHRM Foundation board. She's active in the local chapter, and I would guess we've only, you know, she's got 10 things. Without her, it would have been 20. And I just think about that level of engagement. And the thing that's so important to me, and I think it's so important to our members, is at the end of the day, it's not about SHRM. It's about profession and about creating workplaces that are well managed, well led, focused on employee engagement, focused on employee development, and having successful, sustainable businesses. It's always less about SHRM than it is about the outcome. And that's what I love about social media and what I love about my participation in social media, because I'm meeting all of these phenomenal folks who I never would have met or had access to because they're not SHRM members. But it's clear to me they're in absolute alignment with what SHRM's working on. And so I look at that. I look at Lance. I look at Mark. I look at, you know, a whole range of these incredible folks, and I think, so how much more powerful would we be if you were engaged with SHRM? Just saying.
Yeah, I think Lance makes all the difference, yeah.
Of course he does.
Hey, China, do you want to take their credit card tonight, or do you want to wait until Monday?
Well, I'm going to tell you, though,
I'm sure we have, like, a way to verify a credit card on this call with all the technology.
We need a picture of, like, a sad kitten and say, you know, for the price of a cup of coffee.
Aww.
You know, and have a picture of Lance kind of slowly zooming in, you know.
A little tear running down his cheek.
Yeah, a picture of Mr. Scrubby, I think that would work. Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Mr. Scrubby is just going to be the difference maker.
Yeah. He's going to put us over the top. Like, we need, like, a tote board and everything, and, you know, we can ring up
Scrubby
the donation.
Scrubby can run around.
Yeah,
hey, Mr. Scrubby wants AdSense revenue on this, though, okay?
Yeah.
He wants to monetize this.
I know. I saw that comment. That's a good idea. We need to, you know, if we can generate memberships through, like, a telethon, you know, we can take a cut off the top or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? That's a great idea, a membership telethon.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of those, like, you know, just like Jerry Lewis, we will not go off the air until our goals are met. I don't care how many hours it takes.
China's kids. It'll be China's kids.
Nice.
I love it.
Well, Steve,
all right, guys, unless anybody has any more sort of final wrap-up comments, I think we ought to call this a happy hour. We are my one-hour show's now at an hour and 25 minutes. And so,
they keep getting longer.
No, but it's awesome, but you know, I think we ought to go out on a bang. And I unless anyone has some final comments, anyone want to just throw out anything before we call it a show?
Thank you everyone for participating.
Absolutely, great conversation.
Yeah, I especially want to thank Shauna for setting it up. Lance, Chris, Mark, Lori, Jessica Lee for calling in, our superstar panel from SHRM. Of course, China for being patient with us and you know, biting her nails while she waited to come in and respond. But thanks for being a good sport, certainly, and for calling in and sharing your thoughts at the end as well. Thanks to everyone who called in, too. What's going to happen is in about an hour's time or so, the show will be, the archive will be available. I'll send out the link. I'll tweet it out. Shauna will, too. It'll be on my blog as well. And so everything that we talked about will be available to be listened to back on the archive. You can also get it on iTunes as well. Again, sorry, Lori, that the iTunes is also free right now, so we're still giving that away too. Unless Mr. Scrubby has an iTunes channel, does he?
Not yet. That's okay. A really good idea.
You may need one.
I
can,
like it.
We can maybe flow the archive through Scrubby, I think.
Cute.
Yeah.
It all comes back to Mr. Scrubby.
That's why they call it happy hour, right?
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
Anyway, thanks so much, everyone. I really appreciate it. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. And
Thank you, guys. Go enjoy
the 4th of July weekend, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Have a great
day.
Bye-bye.